Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program.
Pleasure, mate.
Now, looking at this this a bit of an unfortunate turnabout in these recently released Tasmanian Devils, do we know yet what the cause is for this apparent resistance, the resistance to the immunity via the facial tumour disease?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we take this trial in context of piggybacking on to the wild releases for the Devils, which was, I guess, primary cause of that is to introduce the numbers back into the populations, but also to get that sort of genetic diversity back into the populations. It was an opportunity for the people who are working on the vaccine space and the vaccine project to test their hypothesis as to whether, the work that they've been doing will actually protect the Devils. So I guess we look at it not so much of a new resistance or a setback, but just some information for those vaccine trials. Mm. This project, or the release of these animals, allowed the ability of the researchers to take a large population of Devils that had been immunized, and they did respond, but they responded with an antibody response, which is something we look at just as a general thing. And then the big question is, just because we've got that immune response in these Devils, is it protective? Okay, and so there's a question mark over whether the vaccine that's being used, or the process, or the program for that vaccine stuff, whether it's actually can be improved, or whether there's other questions that need to be answered.
Mm. So what are the new challenges now, looking at this new information being taken on board? You kind of mentioned there we're looking at the next step in the process. What does that step look like?
I guess the steps are going back and saying, okay, we need to now analyse probably the antibody response and sort of characterise that and tease that out and see whether it's specifically responsive to the tumour cells themselves. And it also opens up a bag of questions again about the cancer itself. And it's a very unique cancer. There's only two of these transmissible cancers on the planet. One is in dogs and one's in Devils. And it's an unusual process. And so it allows researchers then to go back and say, okay, let's re-examine the things that we accepted and in our hypothesis and say, okay, well, that's not now true. Let's see how we're going to adjust their program.
Yeah, it is rather fascinating to me, this particular disease that has affected Tasmanian Devils for so long now. Transmissible tumours is, it's a rather unusual and a rather scary sort of disease that we see in the Devil population. What kind of major hurdles has that actually created for trying to develop vaccines, given we are dealing with such a unique disease?
Well, I guess, it then relies upon the researchers on the program, really starting to scratch their head. It's something that's not been seen before. It's something that we've all done this various amounts of research work over the last, 12 to 15 years. It's always been a bafflement to all of us. And so what we do is we tease it out and we go with our sort of standard techniques, and then it adjusts the way that we think and the way that we approach, something new like this.
And we mentioned there, of course, it was 3 out of the 33 that were released that were actually affected.
Sure.
What's the process in terms of looking at the remaining 30? Do scientists continue to track what the remaining 30 are doing? Are they that they are safe, I guess, from the disease for the foreseeable future? Or no. Do they continue to watch them and kind of study?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so they'll study sort of what will happen to them next and make sure that features in the research as well.
No, absolutely. And they're another key part of that. The 33 is the key part. We know that 3 have now succumbed to some degree in the disease, but the beauty of having those 3 is not that they're infected, but it's also looking at those animals and keeping them healthy and happy as maybe their disease progresses or it doesn't. And so the progress of the disease in these animals might be completely different because they had they may have contracted it, but they may actually have a disease process that's different. And so there's some real questions that can be answered of those animals, and also tracing the other animals, the other 30. Because, I mean, if you were going to develop a vaccine for anything, basically, if you were doing it in the laboratory, you might use mice or something, and you'd say, okay, well, I'm going to vaccinate these mice, and now I'm going to expose them to the disease, and then I'm going to study and see how many either got it or didn't, or whether it was protective. The challenge with dealing with Tasmanian Devils is because, they're rare native fauna, they're threatened, they're undergoing this disease impact. And so you can't really say, okay, well, let's have 30 to 100 or 60 Devils in a captive environment and we're going to do our normal vaccine trials. It's just not possible and not ethical. And so the issue this opportunity of letting these animals, you know, inject the genetic diversity back into the population with the wild release allows us to do this sort of laboratory, in inverted commas, exposure trial stuff. So it's within a normal range. It's just disappointing that those three animals weren't protected.
Well, Stephen, thank you very much. Really appreciate you joining us. It's a
pleasure.
It's a fascinating topic. Really appreciate your time.
No problems at all.